Hi, this is Mrs. B, a homebound special education teacher and private tutor in Northern Virginia, and you're listening to the AT Tips Cast.
Welcome to the AT Tips Cast, exploring and investigating different implementation of assistive technology in public schools. I'm your host, Chris Bouguet. This is episode number 5, recorded on February 16th, 2008. Well, here it is, the 5th AT Tips Cast, a whole podcast on assistive technology, and so far, there's been no mention of word prediction software, no mention of augmentative communication devices, no mention of switches, no mention of environmental control, no mention of computer access, no mention of eye gaze, no mention of any sort of communication picture symbols, no mention of any strategies that are typically associated with assistive technology. Well, at least what I thought of as assistive technology when I first started in this field. All of those things are assistive technology, I just haven't mentioned them yet in this podcast, and here's why. First, there are literally an infinite number of tools and strategies that can be applied to assist students in public schools. When choosing tools and strategies for students, I think it's best to start by looking at the tools and strategies that might already exist in their educational environment. Many times there are computer programs or aspects of computer programs or other resources already available right in the classroom that can be used to address a goal. Not only is exploring the possibilities of using those resources first more cost-effective, but using this methodology fits right in line with three other educational principles: Universal Design for Learning, or UDL, Differentiating Instruction, or DI, and Least Restrictive Environment, or LRE. These three concepts are like the holy trinity of assistive technology. But this is a podcast relating to public schools, so maybe I'll just stay away from religion and pick a different analogy. I like to think of Universal Design for Learning, Differentiating Instruction, and Least Restrictive Environment as the three leaves of a clover, with assistive technology being the stem they all live on. They are all connected as one. The first leaf, Universal Design for Learning, is just having the mindset that every lesson can be designed in such a way that it's appropriate for every student. The second leaf, Differentiating Instruction, is modifying lessons to make them fit every student in a teacher's class. The third leaf, Least Restrictive Environment, is the concept that learning should take place in an environment that restricts the students in the least possible way. I see Least Restrictive Environment as a continuum where some methods, tools, and strategies move a student closer to or further from the Least Restrictive Environment based on what is appropriate for that student. That is to say, what is least restrictive for one student may not be least restrictive for another. These three leaves are tied together and built upon the stem that is assistive technology. By using the appropriate tools, teachers can provide universally designed, differentiated, and least restrictive lessons. As more and more teachers begin to use this approach to design and deliver lessons, it's as if they were clovers spreading into a field. Maybe I can make a movie about a wild monster running loose in a school, and each teacher it attacks begins to use universally designed lessons, differentiated instructions, and least restrictive environment principles in their class. It could be filmed strictly from the student perspective on a handheld camera. Maybe I'll call it Cloverfield. Has that been done? I'll have to do some research on that one. I bring up Universal Design for Learning, Differentiating Instruction, and Least Restrictive Environment in relation to how I'm coming up with tips for this podcast, because I want to let you know that the tips in this cast are typically coming from that perspective. That is, the tips you'll be hearing, for the most part, are meant to be on strategies and tools you might already have in your classroom, rather than on some product you might have to buy as an additional tool to your classroom. I can't know what every teacher has available to them in every classroom, but I can guess, and those are the tips I'm starting with. That's not to say I won't have some tips on how to use more specialized equipment sometime in the future. Of course I might do that, but there aren't plans for that as of right now, unless someone else decides they'd like to do a segment to the show. Hopefully you'll enjoy these tips and find them useful in providing a healthy diet, differentiating instruction with assistive technology. Also, I wanted to mention that I'm considering a slight format change to the podcast. I was thinking that maybe in future episodes, I might minimize or eliminate the opening segment where I provide thoughts on assistive technology practice and get straight to some tips. This way, I can provide at least 2 tips per episode. That's not to say I won't ever speak about assistive technology practices again, but I might cut back on that a bit and just stick to the strategies. If you have opinions on that, I'd love to hear it. I mean, if you're like,
"No, Chris, please don't,"
then I might consider sticking to the same format. But if you're like,
"Yes, it's about time. The tips are the main reason I listen to the show,"
then I'll stick with the change in format. Please contact me at attipscast@gmail.com to let me know your thoughts and opinions on the format change. Now, for the AT tip for episode number 5, pacing boards. Up until now, all the tips have been computer-based tips, which is a common mistake people make when they think of assistive technology. That is, many hear technology, so they think computer. There are tons of tools and strategies out there that are considered assistive technology, even though they don't plug into a wall socket or run on batteries. Pacing boards just happen to be my absolute all-time favorite strategy. Pacing boards are simply circles drawn on something. Most commonly, they're made with paper and pencil, but they're sometimes made on the computer as well. The circles can be any size or color, or any combination of sizes and colors. There can also be as many circles as needed. Here's how they work. When working with a student who has communication goals, specifically goals that target increasing length of utterance, or using specific parts of speech, or using specific functions of language, like asking or answering WH questions, place the board between you and the student. Then, use each circle as a visual model to represent each word in the phrase wanting to be spoken. The adult in the interaction would point to each circle and then speak it, modeling pace and inflection. Then, the adult would wait expectantly for the student to imitate each word. Often, the visual representation, along with seeing that each word has its own place, works to assist the student in understanding that each word is meant to be spoken. The student can then tap each circle as they repeat the utterance, using the circles to help match each word and the rate at which each word is spoken. Here's a short audio clip of an adult using a pacing board with a student. Picture, if you will, the adult pointing to each circle on a board and each circle representing a word that the adult is saying. The student, in turn, repeats each word by pointing to the circles.
Prescott, what do you want? You try it. I want cracker.
Cracker.
You betcha.
Cracker.
Here you go.
Cracker.
What color is this?
Green. It's green, it's green. It's green, it's green.
It is green.
It is green.
Note how the first student didn't respond at first, but then, eventually, imitated each word while pointing to each circle. Note how the second student was omitting the verb is until he saw and heard that there were three circles on the table. There are actually even more uses for pacing boards, but this cast is already running long. So, if you're interested in learning more about pacing boards, check out the video called Keeping Pace up on the attipscast.wordpress.com blog or on TeacherTube. It's only a few minutes long, and well, I tried to make it fun for everybody. If you know a student who's having some difficulty meeting their educational goals, and you'd like to discuss some strategies, I'd love to hear from you. I think a Q&A sort of segment would be a fun and useful addition to the show. That about wraps it up for this week's episode. If you have an effective strategy, a story of successful technology integration, ideas for segments to the show, comments, questions, or really anything at all, please send me an email or voicemail at attipscast@gmail.com. Until next time, may all your interventions be inclusive, and may all your strategies be supportive.